I'm now joined with Eamon Timmins, Media Relations Manager for Concern Worldwide, to discuss the need for urgent humanitarian intervention to prevent thousands of hunger-related deaths caused by famine in Somalia and Kenya. Good afternoon, Eamon. Thanks for joining us.
Good afternoon, Johnny.
First of all, Eamon, tell us about how bad the situation is in Somalia in terms of drought.
Yeah, I suppose this is one of these crises which is flying under the radar because there's been so much attention, I suppose rightly so, on Ukraine. But as far back as last November, UN agencies and aid workers in the Horn of Africa, and we're talking, when we say Horn of Africa, we're talking Somalia, Kenya, Ethiopia, Djibouti, Eritrea, that region, that corner of East Africa, they've been warning about rains failing. We've had three failed rains on the trot, and we're in the middle of the fourth rain now, which is not materializing. We're talking about parts of that region not having any rain since 2020, no proper rain since 2020. And it's leading to, in some parts of that region, the worst drought since 1981. And we're talking now about 20 million people across the region being affected. 7.7 million people alone in Somalia are in need of humanitarian assistance. 700,000 people in Somalia have left their homes and it's searching for water. And I suppose what was alarming, when you put all these figures out there, was the warning during the week from the United Nations that 350,000 children in Somalia will die before the summer unless there is emergency aid provided, unless the world responds. And the world isn't responding. The international governments are not responding to the calls that have gone out there. But this has been flagged a long time. I mean, I was looking at pictures that one of our photographers took back in January in northern Kenya of dead camels and dead giraffes. It takes a lot to kill a camel. I mean, they're built for drought. And when you see dead camels, that should really have been the wake-up call for the world to wake up and to do something. We are heading towards a major humanitarian crisis.
Okay. I believe the country has become so dry that the Juba and Shabelle rivers barely have any water left.
Yeah, and for people listening at home, these are the main rivers in central and southern Somalia. I mean, a lot of people would have, you know, collected water on their crops, irrigated their fields from these, and these are drying up. We've seen in parts of northern Kenya and Turkana, 80 to 90% of the reservoirs and dams are dried up. Pastoralists, a lot of people in that part of the world are pastoralists, which means they've moved their cattle, their camels, their sheep, their goats from area to area. They follow the rain. They don't actually have their own land, but they follow the rains. They're struggling. So, you know, we've seen all these figures and we've seen the impact it's having. And I suppose as one aid worker said to me during the week, which is kind of frightening, he said it's not only alarming to see how bad the situation is now, but he said to see that it's deteriorating by the day. Every day we don't have these rains. Just to put it in context for listeners, the rains, they get four kind of two main rains in Somalia each year. The one we're looking at the moment is April to June. If we don't get any, the rains haven't materialized so far, and the short-term forecasts aren't good. If they don't get any proper rain in the coming weeks, once they come to the end of June, there's a dry season which runs until September. And then it's October to November, there's a rainy season, and then from December back to March again, it's dry. So they've really got two rainy seasons. The last three rainy seasons have failed. These rains look like they're failing as well. And that's leaving people in a very, very serious situation, particularly in parts of the world where a lot of their agriculture is rain-fed. You know, they don't have pipe or, you know, reservoir water. It's rain-fed water. People's livelihoods depend on it.
Would it be true to say that the drought may be linked to climate change?
There certainly is a climate change element to it. There's a thing called La Nina, which we won't go into now, but it's like the El Nino. It's the it's got to do with the heating and cooling of the oceans and the way it affects the air above it. What we have seen is very erratic weather patterns for the last few years. You know, traditionally, this part of the world, there were droughts every 10, 15 years. That's become every 8 years, every 5 years. We had a serious drought in this part of the world back in 2019. It's back again now. And so what we are seeing is that very long dry periods, and then when the rain does come, it comes in a very extreme downpours. We've had, you know, down further down east, in eastern Kenya, we've seen, in eastern Africa, we've seen in places like Malawi and Mozambique, we've seen kind of like two cyclones and three or four tropical storms in the last few months. So the weather is becoming extremely erratic. I was in Somaliland in the very north back in 2019. I remember an old lady, we were discussing climate change, and she's not a meteorologist or expert, but all she could say to you is that as a child, she remembered when buckets of water used to freeze in the springtime. She said, we don't see any frost, we don't see any ice anymore. And the weather is changing, and is changing and becoming very dramatic and very erratic. So certainly it is contributing to it. And where it's also contributed in Somalia is that the heavy rains we had in 2019, the very dramatic rains which followed the drought, they led to locust infestations. They had the worst locust infestations in 70 years. And these things eat through greenery. They could strip a field in a few minutes. It's quite frightening to see them. So usually when we look around the world, you know, what's driving hunger is the three C's: climate change, COVID, and conflict. Somalia has all three now. And I suppose on top of that, we also have Ukraine. And maybe if we have a few minutes later on, Ukraine is having a dramatic... If Ukraine had never erupted, the conflict had never erupted there, we would still have a major crisis in the Horn of Africa. The fact that Ukraine has erupted is contributing and making that worse. And we maybe talk about that in a few minutes if you'd like.
Okay, so there's still ongoing conflict as well in the country.
There's armed groups which control parts of the country, so that's something we work with. We work in controlled areas. It is part of life and has been for decades in Somalia, and it's part of the work concerned us. There's a lot of security and, you know, security risks and security management. We have to manage those risks, but yeah, that's part and parcel of working in Somalia, and that's what the team do every day.
Okay. Are there many similarities between what's happening now and in the run-up to the Somalia famine in 2011?
Yeah, you know, I was talking to our country director, a wonderful man called Abdi Rashid, who's worked with Concern since the early 90s, and he can talk you through the different famines and the different famines they've had in his time. But in 2011, where the similarities are is that the world was warned that this thing was coming, and the world did nothing about it. And in that famine, 258,000 people died. 5 years later, there was another drought, and the world did respond and saved people's lives. You know, 6.2 million people needed support, and the funding was provided, and they were saved. People are saying this one is stark similarities with 2011, in that the world has been told there's a humanitarian crisis building here, we need support, that support isn't coming, and that's where the fear is. And people are saying that the drought this year is worse than it was in 2011. And people are genuinely fearful, Johnny. I know we always talk about these crises and, you know, these things are always talked up, but this thing is shaping up to be horrendous.
Okay, so obviously very quickly will be the need for humanitarian aid, you know, to prevent high numbers of hunger-related deaths and famine.
Yeah, the frightening thing is that the United Nations has estimated the need about 1.3 billion euro to meet the humanitarian needs. They've put out an international appeal. They put these appeals out several times a year. At the moment, they've just got 4% of the funding has come in for that appeal. And I think it was what that means in real terms on the ground. There was a UN spokesman in Mogadishu, the Somali capital, during the week, and he said at the moment, because of the needs they have and the funding shortage they have, he said, we are taking from the hungry to feed the starving. And that's a horrendous situation for humanitarians to be in.
Eamon, tell us about the main areas of Concern's response in terms of supporting health clinics, providing water supply, and so on.
Yeah, Concern has been, I mean, I suppose the plus side is we've been in Somalia since the early 90s and in Kenya for considerably longer. In Somalia, we're supporting 24 health clinics, including 10 mobile clinics. Mobile clinics are really crucial to this because the lessons we've learned in the past is that when people become too weak, they can't get to the clinic. Then they're too weak to get to the clinic. So these mobile clinics go out to communities and reach them. A lot of what they're dealing with is severe malnutrition among children, but also other diseases such as diarrhea and measles. We're also just looking at the country reports coming back from our team out there. There's been a marked doubling in the number of cholera cases since the first week of April. So we're seeing cholera beginning to creep in. That's a waterborne disease. And that's because we have very, very low water levels and very poor and very lack of clean water at this stage. So we're beginning to see the diarrhea, the cholera creeping in as well. So those health clinics are crucial to try and support communities. We're also providing water, trucking water in these huge tankers, like you see an oil tanker here or a milk tanker. We're trucking water out to communities, and we're also operating a number of pipelines. And there's also unconditional cash. We identify vulnerable families, and there's cash payments being given out, both through directly through Concern, and also we work with a group called the Somali Cash Consortium. It's EU funded, and there's a number of non-government organisations, and we distribute cash to families. And we've about 11,000 households we've helped, which is about 7 to a household, so about 70,000 people. We've got water out to about 93,000 people. And we're also trying to keep schools going. There's fears about 116 schools could close because of the lack of water. And through Irish Aid, we're operating or supporting schools in 5 locations, about 3,000 children, trying to keep them in education. So Irish Aid is helping to support that as well.
Okay, so for anyone interested in donating, how to go about it?
There's two ways. I mean, concern.net is the easiest way if you make your donation online. I know there's a lot of older people who are not online, and so they can certainly, we're always welcome. You can donate over the phone. It's 0818 410 510. So it's 0818 410 510. And certainly the donations which we receive have been the backbone of enabling us to support the poorest people in the world. We're in 24 countries at the moment. And, you know, when you look around the world, there's crises everywhere at the moment. It's been a particularly difficult time. The work Concern can do is only possible because of the generosity of the Irish public.
And from your side in Concern, when somebody donates, how do you handle where it goes? If it's for Somalia, Ukraine, Afghanistan, because, you know, they have their problems too.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on the nature of the donation. If it's specified, well, then it goes to that country program. If it's not specified, it goes into general donations, which then the chief executive and his management team decide where the money is needed. And that can shift at any one time because, you know, we have a lot of money tied up in specific programs with whether it's government donations or other institutional donors who require the money to be spent in a certain way. The public donations, where they're not specified, enable us to move that money wherever it's needed. And, you know, they're just endless emergencies at the moment, you know, so it's a very, very busy time, and those donations are hugely, hugely valuable.
Right, so we leave it there for today. Unless, of course, anything else, Eamon, you'd like to mention?
No, finally, John, I'd just like to thank the public again because, you know, we can't do the work without them. And Irish people have been, Concern has been around for more than 50 years now, and the Irish people have been there all along. And the work, what their donations are achieving is phenomenal. And we're just very, very grateful to them for that.
Okay, Eamon, thanks again for joining us. And keep up the great work that you do, funding and all of that as well. And all the very best to you. Do take care.
Sorry. Thanks for your help, Johnny.
You're most welcome. Now, that was Eamon Timmins, Media Relations Manager for Concern Worldwide, talking about the need for urgent humanitarian intervention to prevent thousands of hunger-related deaths caused by famine in Somalia and Kenya as well.